Good morning, and welcome to the Netia's 2009 second quarter results conference call. Hosting today's call will be Mr. Miroslav Wodolski, President and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. John Eastick, Chief Financial Officer. Following management's formal comments, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. Mr. Wodolski, you may now begin.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning, and welcome to our conference call on the first half of 2009 results. We would like to walk you through what was a great period for Netia in delivering strong EBITDA growth, both in full half year as well as second quarter. Our revenue stabilized in what is overall slowing economy, and it is thanks to our residential customers segment, which, as you will see details later, is posting healthy growth. Also, our subscriber base continues to grow despite this challenging market environment. We continue leading on rollout of LAU in Poland, and by now we have 158 nodes unbundled, and at the beginning of August, we have already 10,000 customers served on LAU. Migration of Bitstream customers to LAU technology already started in the second quarter, and you see some connections driven by that. And we have very consciously moved migration from DoublePlay customers to November of 2009 with the aim of doing it even more cost-efficiently. Touching on cost, our cost reduction program under the name of Profit proceeds very smoothly. That is part of the reason for the strong second quarter EBITDA results. We also have done two events which expand our cash resources, and Jonathan Eastick, our CFO, will talk about it in more details, which is sale of P4 equipment used for the providing of the transmission services to P4, as well as renegotiated credit facility. Today we'll also walk you through revised guidance for 2009, as well as rationale behind it. As we go through the presentation, through information on first half results, we will be referring to a presentation which you can find on our website. So for those who haven't accessed it yet, it may be useful to look it up. Let me take you through some more information on progress on acquiring new customers and selling new services. In terms of our broadband customer base, which in that presentation I mentioned is shown on page 3. We have reached 459 broadband customers as of end of second quarter. Important to stress is that 42% of those customers are serviced directly via Netia's own network, and there is a strong focus on two-play offers for new customers, which led into almost 40% of newly acquired customers in second quarter being two-play customers. Also, very important, we keep moving up with the market share of broadband broadband market, and in second quarter we've reached already 8.1% of the market. At the same time, stabilizing our ARPU on broadband services. If you flip to page 4, you can also have a look at voice services. By end of second quarter, we've reached 1,129,000 voice customers. 35% of that that base is serviced directly via our own network. And also, voice ARPU is expected to stabilize in the midterm. You can already see signs of that. On market share front, we've reached 11% of Polish market. With this quick introduction to customer base, I'll pass to Jonathan Eastick to walk you through more details on costs and in general financial performance. Jonathan.
Mirek, thank you very much. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's my pleasure to join Mirek on this call and take you through our first half 2009 and second quarter results. I'd like to start off with just a few additional comments on the market, on the broadband market in particular. Competitors' estimates of market size for broadband at the end of June 2009 were for 5.8 million customers. That's a growth on Q1 of about 115,000, which is a significant slowdown in the market as a whole. And in that context, we actually think the 18,000 net adds that we delivered during the quarter was a very, very good performance. We did 15% of net adds in the broadband market, slightly down from 17% in Q1. However, that should be viewed also in the context of TP rolling out their CDMA solution in rural areas, which is contributing a significant part to their net additions. In fact, in Q2, 18,000 of their net additions came from CDMA, and if you take that away from their net additions, because we're not competing in that part of the market, then in fact we outsold TPSA on net additions in broadband by 18,000 to 7,000. So in that context, we think we've done very well in terms of keeping our growth in terms of share. However, the total market is clearly growing more slowly and being affected by the economic situation a little bit more than we'd originally expected. A second important factor is that we've run the business during the second quarter in a very conservative manner, and we've been extremely focused on bringing in double play customers, voice and broadband together, which are much more profitable on regulated access than single play customers. Over 40% of our additions were double play during the quarter. LLU is going better and better. We went up to 7,300 LLU connected customers during the quarter from 3,800 a quarter earlier. We've just passed in the last few days 10,000 connected customers, and we still have the bulk of the migration that we're planning from Bitstream onto LLU to come later in the year. We found some better technical solution for this migration that takes a couple of months to implement, but it will reduce our costs significantly, so we're really excited about that, and we felt it was worth delaying the migration process for a couple of months. Moving to the performance on the voice side, we have grown the base to just under 1,130,000 customers at the end of the second quarter. That's 2% growth on Q1, but we're expecting to accelerate the growth rate again back to the levels we saw in Q1 and Q4 last year. And we're now guiding to finish at 1.2 million voice customers by the end of the year. So now moving back to the presentation, I want to make a few comments about our cost reduction project on slide 5. The project we call Project Profit. It's aimed at bringing 100 million of annual capex savings to the company for calendar year 2010. And the project's going extremely well. As the slide shows, we've already concluded about 32% of these initiatives, and almost all initiatives are in the implementation phase. Value-wise, the completed initiatives have already brought in 60% of this year's saving target, which was 20 million zloty, and 50% of next year. So we're really well on the way to realizing our aim of cutting 100 million zloty from next year's spending plan. One of the most important projects, obviously, was a headcount reduction. As we suggested on the last call, we terminated about 130 employees during May, and although most of them were still on their notice period on the 30th of June, they've now actually dropped off our headcount, and our headcount at the beginning of August is now estimated at about 1,490 employees. So that's a significant reduction. We're in the middle of a number of projects aimed at process improvement. We're also close to starting the migration of the Tele2 IT systems onto the Netier IT system platform. And when that project is finished and these process improvements are finished, this will probably lead into further reduction in headcount. More information on that will come out as we make announcements internally. So the profit project's going very well. One other comment on that is that in terms of the cost of implementation, that's gone well ahead of our original expectation. We incurred 6 million zloty of cost in the first half of the year. Our original plan was for 25 million zloty of cost for the whole year. And today we've reduced that to 15 million zloty in our new guidance. And that's one of the main reasons for the increase in the EBITDA guidance today. Okay, so with those comments about the operational situation, I'll move on to financial results. If you move forward to slide 9 in our presentation, you've got the key figures there in front of you. Revenue for the first half of the year was up 59% at 749.3 million zloty. Obviously partly coming from the Tele2 acquisition, but largely driven by our growth behind our data services. The Q2 revenue was 373.8 million, 53.5% up on a year earlier, but 0.5% down on Q1. I'll go through the reasons for that in a moment. In terms of products, data revenue continues to grow very strongly. We're now up to 129.2 million in the second quarter. It's about 9% sequential growth and 48% year-on-year. Our voice revenue on the back of more WLR customers and the Tele2 acquisition is at 96% growth at 184.1 million for the second half. The revenue decline Q1 to Q2 is primarily coming on the wholesale segment, where we declined 7.7%. There's a number of reasons for this. The main ones being some discounts we gave to P4 on the transmission contract during the course of the negotiations kicked in May, reducing our spending or our revenue from the contract slightly. We also reduced or stopped cooperating with a number of wholesale partners that have previous or wholesale customers that have previously been working with Tele2. And we did less transit and termination business, so relatively low EBITDA margin business. So the sum total of that was that wholesale, or rather carrier as a segment, as we call it, dropped from 56 million to 51.7 million of revenue during the quarter. Now, on the other hand, our residential business continues to grow. It's up 1.5% quarter on quarter with 196 million of revenue. And our corporate segment, we think, actually held up pretty well within the market environment. We're down 0.8% on corporate revenue at 87.6 million zloty for the quarter. But it's worth remembering that year on year, we're actually up 2.5%. And that's all organic growth. Tele2 didn't really have a corporate business, so there's no impact on from acquisitions. So the key thing on the revenue is there was a sequential decline, but it's basically in the wholesale segment, which is not so strategic for Netia. Moving on to cost of sales, we had a 36% increase in cost of sales to 509 million for the half year. The second quarter was 257 million. Slightly up on 251.8 million in the first quarter. The main movement was in depreciation charges. This is mostly new assets coming on stream and some reclassifications of the Airbytes business. As a result, the depreciation rose from 63.6 rose to 63.6 million from 59.8 million. As a result, the gross margin is coming in at 31.2% for the second quarter versus 21.3% a year earlier, prior to the Tele2 acquisition and all the synergies that we've realised. On the sales and distribution area, as we indicated on the previous call, we ramped up our advertising spending. There was significant spending on a brand campaign, plus supporting the One Office product for the Soho SME segment. That took advertising spending up to 20.6 million from 9 million in the first quarter. But despite that, the total sales and distribution cost only rose by 1.2 million zloty from Q1. That's because all other cost areas were basically down. Commissions were down significantly because of the slightly reduced sales rate in the second quarter. On the G&A side, we've made tremendous progress, 11% down quarter on quarter. A lot of this coming from the cost reduction project. We finished with the quarter with 41.6 million versus 46.6 a quarter earlier. It's 11% down. We're now, our G&A spend is now 11.1% of revenue, down from over 13% a year earlier. So adjusted EBITDA for the half year came in at 145.7 million, 19.4% margin, versus 69.2 million a year earlier, 14.4% margin on sales. Quarter on quarter, we made continued progress. EBITDA was at, adjusted EBITDA, this is without restructuring costs, was at 73.7 million, up 3% on Q1 of 2009. And our margin is creeping up towards the 20% target that we actually have for next year. So we're well, we had previously, it's now been moved up to 23. So we're now moving forward very well towards next year's target. With the restructuring costs included, EBITDA in the second quarter came in at 69.4 million zloty, marginally down on Q1. EBIT continues to close on break-even. We recorded a 5 million loss, but if you back out the restructuring cost, we actually had a 0.6 million EBIT loss in the second quarter. And this compares very well to the 33.2 million we had in the second quarter of 2008. Net profit came in at minus 8 million for the quarter. Again, would have been better than Q1 without the restructuring costs. On CapEx, we had a very satisfactory quarter, spending 51 million. Zloty, that's 13.7% of revenue. It's flat on last year, and we continue to be comfortable with our guidance for 260 million of spending for the year as a whole. What we're most excited about right now is that the operating cash flow of Netia is starting to turn significantly positive. If we look at operating cash flow from the EBITDA less investment CapEx perspective, then we were basically flat for Q1, whereas we generated 18 million zloty in Q2. Our cash position is basically 163 million zloty, including almost 50 million in market value of government bonds. And our loan facility we've reduced from 375 to 295 million zloty during the quarter. However, in exchange for that reduction, we got certain waivers and adjustments to the use of funds for the facility, which makes it much more flexible for us. We can use it now for up to 100 million zloty of buybacks. We're able to, we have more flexibility in terms of acquisitions. But most importantly, we keep the bank relationships and keep the lines there. Should we find interesting larger acquisition opportunities. Couple of one-offs that are worth mentioning during the quarter that you may find interesting. On the Tele2 transaction, we made a payment during the quarter of 26.5 million zloty, which was related to the higher working capital and higher cash balances that were in Tele2 on the date of acquisition than we contracted to buy. So we bought the business basically for 115 million zloty with a certain amount of working capital and cash. In the event, 3 months after we signed the deal, on the date of closing, the cash balances and working capital were 26 million zloty higher than has been assumed, and under the deal we had to repay that money to Tele2. So I look at that more or less as a refund of a loan, if you like. On the P4 transaction that Mirek mentioned a few minutes ago, this is a very good transaction for Netia, we feel. A lot of money over the last 3 years has been invested in building an access or transmission network dedicated for P4. Most mobile operators tend to do this investment themselves. And we felt that now that we no longer have the equity upside on P4, it made much more sense to limit the cooperation to the core network, where many mobile operators lease lines from fixed operators. So we're selling this base station to base station radio network, radio transmission network, back to P4 for 65 million zloty. In three tranches. 23 million came in last Friday, so the first third of the transaction has gone through already. The other two tranches will be in 2010. So we'll be left with a smaller contract, but one that continues to be very profitable and leveraging our core assets as opposed to driving us to make additional capital investments. So with that, I'll hand it back to, I'll just go through the revised guidance and then I'll, before handing back to Miroslav. Because of the slower growth in the broadband market, we've taken the decision to pull down our guidance to 510,000 for the end of this year from 525,000. Given run rates and that we still have Christmas to come, we think that's a very safe figure at this stage. And we also may do some more Ethernet acquisitions in the second half of the year that are not explicitly dealt with in our guidance. We've pushed up our target for voice customers to 1.2 million customers by year end from 1,150,000. Market environment, or rather the economic environment, plus this new approach to the P4 contract, where we've sold them some of the equipment this year, means we've needed to take the revenue guidance down by 20 million from 1,520,000,000 to 1.5 billion zloty. EBITDA guidance, the adjusted EBITDA stays at 290. The EBITDA after lower cost of restructuring goes up from 265 to 275 million zloty. And finally, on capital investment, we're holding on the 260 million guidance that we've been suggesting for the last couple of quarters. So with those comments, I'll hand back to Mirek just to summarise and finish the formal comments.
Thank you, Jonathan. So with the revised outlook for 2009, I think it's also worth to confirm our midterm outlook, and we are aiming at the EBITDA margin in 2010 to reach 23% and 28% in 2012. All of the initiatives we are taking are moving us smoothly toward that direction. Our broadband strategy is already proving to deliver profits, as we were saying. And also this profit program, which John has extensively dealt with during the conference call, is delivering a major upside to this EBITDA improvement. Our focus on the second half of 2009 will be continued push on two-play sales, LLU migration. Again, I'll stress the two-play migration to happen in November of this year, and this would be like a one-time ramp-up in number of LLU connected customers, as well as a launch of IPTV, as you already have heard, in cooperation with N. I should also mention one note on the more personal front. As you maybe read, our team has been strengthened by new Chief Commercial Officer, Grzegorz Esch, and I'm really looking forward to have him on the team starting October 1st to further push and drive our top line, especially that becomes important as our offer has been broadened or will be broadened by IPTV and further incremental services. With that closing comment, I would turn back to the operator to let you know how you can ask questions, which we would welcome all of them. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 7 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and wish to withdraw your question, please press 7 again. You will be advised when to ask your question. First question comes from the line of Pamela Ante from KBC. Please go ahead with your question.
Good morning, gentlemen, and congratulations on these results. A few questions, hopefully quick ones. First one, broadband ARPU is down significantly, yet Bitstream SAC is up. Can you take me through the dynamics behind that, and at what levels do you see these numbers stabilizing? Second question, can you remind me what's behind the voice ARPU increase on the WLR, and also if you could give me an idea of what needs to happen for voice ARPU as a whole to stabilize? The third question is, with higher EBITDA or faster margin improvement, do you see any possibility of returning to profitability earlier than your original guidance?
Pamela, thank you for those questions. I'll deal with those. The broadband ARPU is down on the second quarter of 2008, so year on year, mm-hmm. by about 11%. So it's dropped from 66 to 59 zloty. However, it's stable quarter on quarter, and if you look at the graphic, I think it's on slide 3, you can see that we are starting to see a stabilization in the ARPU. Just to remind you, it's basically the reason for the rapid drop is basically a blend effect because of the residential part of the broadband base growing much, much faster than the large corporate part.
Right, so that's basically a dilution then.
So it's basically a dilution. The residential ARPU has been basically ticking up quarter on quarter as we track the offers of TP, who are being less and less aggressive on pricing. On the SAC side of things, the major reasons for the increases over the last couple of quarters are first of all blending in the channels of Tele2, which were basically more expensive than ours. So we're still hoping, as part of the synergy process, to get those costs back down again. Mm-hmm. But most importantly, as I mentioned in my remarks, we're focusing on double play customers. Double play customers generate us much more margin than single play because the back office costs are basically only incurred once. So we're prepared to put a lot more money behind the commission for bringing those customers in than we are on the single play. And because of the mix effect, that's where the SAC is going up.
Okay, and where do you see that stabilizing? Or when do you see it stabilizing?
I think the movement should not be going materially higher from where we are now. We'd hope to start to bring these costs down again in the medium term.
Okay.
Over the next couple of quarters. On the WLR side, the increases in the WLR last year prior to the Tele2 acquisition basically come from the way that these customers get acquired when they're acquired organically. For the first couple of months, the customers are basically CPS, whilst their monthly fee is actually transferred.
Okay.
From TP billing onto the AltNets billing system.
Sure. Okay.
So that's what ramps it up very quickly. And Tele2 actually had a much higher ARPU level because of the legacy customers than Netio on WLR. So that's why we've shown such strong growth in ARPU. And the final part of your question was on voice ARPU generally.
Yeah.
We've seen an acceleration again of ARPU decline on not so much on WLR, but on the fixed network side. I think it went back up to about an 11% decline again during year on year.
Mm-hmm.
This is basically a combination of two things. I think the economic situation is weighing on spending on the corporate side. But most importantly is the drastic declines in fixed to mobile rates implemented by the regulator, which feed through to prices charged on fixed to mobile calls. Those are the only types of calls that aren't usually in the bundle, and that's why the ARPUs drop.
Can you give us an idea then of the decrease, for example, in fixed voice revenues from the fixed to mobile rate cut?
In the residential segment, we've basically not been we haven't yet implemented cuts.
Mm-hmm.
But on the corporate side, it's more difficult to give you an estimate. But obviously, those customers tend to be more aggressive in asking for discounts, and they're more aware of the cost side. So on that side, there has been pressure. But it's difficult to give you a figure.
Okay, fair enough. And the EBITDA and return to profitability?
Yeah, I mean, as I mentioned, the EBIT is really closing in on break-even.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on what happens with exchange rates and hedging movements over the next couple of quarters, the financial expenses should go down. So there is a realistic prospect that one or maybe both quarters at the end of this year may come in positive.
Okay.
But as we're right on break-even, it's very difficult to give a firm commitment one way or the other. Any unusual item could swing it from profit to loss.
Okay.
But definitely we're very much on track to be positive for the whole of next year.
Perfect. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Jean-Baptiste Toulouse from ING. Please go ahead with your question.
Good morning. I've got two questions, please. The first, this quarter, TPSA was losing more fixed-line clients to WLR, but at the same time, you're adding significantly less. So I was wondering if there's any explanation, if it's a trend. And second, I was wondering if you could please give us an update on the regulatory side, especially following the recent discussion with the regulator, and mainly on the wholesale pricing, the functional separation, and the potential co-investment with TPSA. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for the question. On WLR, there are two elements for a slowdown in acquisition of customers on our side. First of all, it's a very conscious decision to move into double play customers and a more profitable one, which is also partially reflected in stabilizing ARPU. And other competitors, I guess, would be Dialog and maybe one of the mobile operators, PTC Era, are other people adding on WLR customers. But as you saw in our upgraded guidance, we are actually aiming at having a much bigger WLR customer base at the end of this year, as we've initially forecasted.
Yeah, but sometimes this guidance was quite, conservative. I mean, I guess we could have assumed that you would be increasing it sooner or later.
It was and it wasn't, also because we took certain assumptions on churn of Tele2 customers, and the truth is it's coming way above expectations, positively in terms of stabilizing this customer base. I think the Tele2 base, not that we thought it after due diligence, but just hearing from other people about potential risks, we took a conservative assumption on what would be the churn, and it's coming much, much better than assumed.
Okay, thanks.
In terms of the regulatory environment or regulatory discussions, yes, you can read recently in press about advanced negotiations between the regulator and the whole of association of the alternative operators, which you know everybody would hope would lead into compromises. But I have to say my personal evaluation and assessment is that it won't happen. I think, again, based on my personal experience, TP may have even good intentions, but I would say it's almost genetically unavailable to reach compromise. And I just don't believe it will happen. So my personal bet would be that probably the regulator will push forward with functional separation.
Okay, thanks.
Next question comes from the line of Anna Bostong from UniCredit. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, thanks very much for the very informative and detailed discussion. I only have a couple of very minor things. One is just if you could tell us a little bit more about the technical aspects of this new technology that will make the LLU double play much more lower cost. That would be very interesting to know. And secondly, what's your feeling in the economic environment in the third and fourth quarter? Are you seeing a V-shaped type recovery, or what's your sort of prospects to it going out to the sort of next few quarters?
Hi, Anna. Thanks for those two questions. Yeah, the first question, how on the migration to LLU from Bitstream and from WLR. So the issue is the following one, that WLR customers are generally connected on analog PSTN lines, whereas LLU is a VoIP or a voice over IP type of solution. So one of the things we were struggling with on the migration is that these customers needed to be furnished with a VoIP-capable modem, which obviously increases the acquisition or the migration cost. We've come up now with a solution that we expect to successfully implement, where the VoIP conversion will take place on the card in the DSLAM in the LLU node, which means we won't need to change any of the equipment at the customer end, which obviously is going to save us a lot of money in terms of VoIP modems and a lot of logistical cost. So we're really excited about that, and we thought it was worth waiting to get these new cards installed and tested and delay the migration until we're satisfied with it. The second question was...
The economic environment.
Yeah, the economic environment. I would suspect that things will be running relatively flat for a while. We're not counting on a hockey stick type of recovery. If we were, we probably wouldn't have reduced the guidance. Luckily in our telecom sector, it is a very defensive sector, and I think to lose only 0.8% of revenue quarter on quarter in corporate is actually a very good performance. We're actually up 2.5% year on year in the second quarter on corporate, so we're not really counting on a quick recovery.
We currently have no questions in the queue, so just to remind you, if you would like to ask a question, please press 7 on your telephone keypad now. We have a follow-up question from the line of Pamela Ante from KBC. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, John. Just a question on the P4 transaction for the equipment sale. You said in the presentation that you expect double-digit IRR. Can you give us a sense? I mean, double-digit can be 11% to 99%. Would it be similar to the IRR you obtained from the P4 sale?
It would certainly be a lot closer to that than to 11%. Yeah, it's a very satisfactory return, we're expecting.
Well, if it's close to the P4 IRR, then I guess it would be satisfactory. Thank you.
That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, a final reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 7 on your telephone keypad now. As there are no further questions, I will turn the call over to Mr. Godlewski for his final comment.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for participating in this conference call. And again, as always, looking forward to meeting you in person. Have a good day.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for attending today's conference. You may now replace your handset.